to the Harvest Word Assembly, the city of refuge, where all can find and dwell in God's love, where destinies are aligned and lives are transformed by the raw, undiluted power of God. Under the leadership of Prophet Gbenga Shafe, we gather today not just for service, but for an encounter. Get ready, heaven is open, the word is alive, and your miracle is now.
I have so many equipment, but I know in those days you just find maybe one of our pastors, it will just, you know, get on the stage. And in those days, we used to have a lot of energetic pastors, Igbo pastors, you know, and I used to enjoy them. Because I remember a particular one, anytime he comes, he always has one song with Igbo accent. It's an English song, but with strong Igbo accent. So I don't have the Igbo accent, but you will hear something like, "For the Lord our God, omnipotent, irenet in majesty. The Lord reigneth, blessed be the name of the Lord. For the Lord our God, omnipotent, irenet in majesty." Say the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Now, I would encourage you to maybe think about the lyrics of that song. It's very powerful. And in those days, once we sing that song and gyrate, we just start praying. No prayer point. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 1. Pastor Kwe. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26.
Wherever you lead me, the Lord, I will go. Wherever you lead me, the Lord, I will go. Wherever you lead me, dear Lord, I will go. Wherever you lead me,
wherever you lead me, dear Lord, I will go.
Your glory is awesome, your glory is awesome. Your glory is great, your glory is awesome.
Say your glory is awesome.
Your glory is great.
Wherever you lead me, I will go. Wherever you send me, dear Lord, I will go. Your glory is awesome. Alla maraba la faso ketele kasopra kata kaseta baya. Shahela kana maso tele kabara kata sede. Hallelujah. I'm going to share some things very briefly with us this morning, but let's read from Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. And God said, the word God there means Elohim. Let us make man in our image. The word man there is translated as Adam. In our image and after our likeness, let them look like us, let them function like us. A generation of gods. And let them have dominion over the marine world. Let them have dominion over the airspace. That was the fowls of the air. And over the cattle. Talking about industry, vegetation. Are you with me? So you need to find where God has placed you in any of this. Because the first words God spoke about man, AI cannot take them out. He said, and over all the earth, there are resources in the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon any creature, that anything made by God, God say have dominion over it. Next verse. So God created man, Adam, in his own image, and in the image of God created he him, male and female created. And I've explained to you before that man is not male. Man is male and female. So both of us had the dominion mandate. If you're a lady, your spirit must hear the dominion mandate. Trying to live under the shadow of your husband in the name of he's supposed to be the provider is a waste of space and destiny. When God thought about you, you must understand that he thought about you first before your parents decided they wanted a daughter. Your parents didn't even know what you would be. You could have been a boy, you could have been a girl. The only person who knew who you would be before you manifested was God. And he gave you your marching orders in your spirit, which is why when you were born into this earth, you gravitated towards certain things naturally. Come on, are you with me? You gravitated. God encoded certain things about your destiny into you, which is why no matter what people say, you find that you always write. You like writing. Those things were coded. However, we may all be given a tree. God may give you one tree. T-R-E-E. Give me a tree. Give all of us trees. And you may look at that tree and decide that all you want to do is climb it. You like climbing. You are a climber for life. Somebody else may look at that tree and say, we can make chairs out of this. And they will become rich. Somebody else can say, we can make paper. No, you make paper from trees. So the further you dig, the more you put pressure on the level of your creativity, then the dominion mandate begins to manifest. If you are waiting for you to be discovered, I'm waiting for someone to find me. You will never be found. I hope you know that it was Adam that slept. But when God created Eve was awake. That was why when Adam saw her, he met her standing. He didn't meet her sleeping beside him. He woke up and saw a woman standing beside him. Ah, who is this? You are not permitted to sleep.
is the man that will sleep. Come on now. Are you still here? Are you still here? There is a strange doctrine going around that is the provider, is the this, is the that, and you are looking for a soft life. The soft life your parents could not give you. And your uncle that paid your school fees could not give you. I am telling you that many of our dear sisters who have received a mandate from heaven are leaving their destinies on the table because they are waiting for someone to come and invest in them. Listen to me. Before your parents knew you were going to be a girl, God already gave you your marching orders. He said, before you were formed in your mother's womb, I already knew Motibai Soro. I knew you. I knew your name. In fact, the name your parents gave you is not the name I gave you. They named after your late grandmother. I have a name that I call you. And if you follow this destiny path, you realize that your name is not Indifreke. Your name is Deborah. Come on, are you hearing me now? Let me tell you, can miss your parents, despite their good intentions, can miss out on God's way. Yes, you have to know that. That you, in your best intentions, when you have a child, have you ever bothered to ask the Lord, what should we call him? You called your parents and told all of them, please sit down. Please give us name. And your mom gave you 15 names. And your dad gave you 7 names. He doesn't have too much. And you, the father of the child, you are not even sure which of your own names, because your wife insisted that it must be her own name. So you had 21 names. Which one will be on the certificate? You just pick any two. And that's how some destinies became anyhow. Because from the naming, nobody was sure. Out of respect for my parents, I can ask you to give me a name, but please be informed that name is not going to be on that certificate. It's just for the photo ops. So when we're announcing the name, which one did daddy give us? Yeah, please clap for daddy. That's where it ends. Then if daddy comes, he can call you that name casually, but that is not your name. All right? Now, there's something I want to bring out here, because I don't know why. So this is how somebody hijacked my message. First service, was it last week or 2 weeks ago? I started talking about love and... it was first service last week, yeah. But I came ready. Today, nobody can hijack my message. I prepared for them. Now, this is where I'm going. And I want you to please note a few things. When God created man, what was the first item he said he wanted man to have? Dominion. Please, sir, what is dominion in Yoruba language? Who can help us? Huh? Hello? Okay, in Igbo language. Huh? Ekotabas. Jagaban. Okay, you heard her. So I'm sure I would need to rehearse and pronounce that, but you have heard her. Now, this. you will see Epos later with that. Abang. Did you say Abang? To dominate. You see, now, before this becomes an Igbo class, hear me. The word dominate, as used in Genesis, means to rule forcefully. Subjugate. Do you know what subjugate means? Huh? It's like as though you pin someone down, you force them into submission. And this was the word that the Lord used. Let them have dominion. Dominion meaning royalty, but in practical terms means to forcefully occupy a territory. Which means before God created Adam, there were some strange forces working on the earth. That by the time God said through Samuel to King David, you will be king. Samuel did not tell David that he will run for more than 13 years. Why was it necessary for David to go through that wilderness experience? Because your prophecy informs you, your process matures you. This is why a lot of people have lots of prophecies that are never manifesting. God did not lie. You are not ready. Now, Paul was speaking to Timothy, his spiritual son, and he said, look, all the prophecies I have given you, you are to wage a what? A good warfare with them. A good warfare. Paul said, what you do with prophecy is to, after receiving it, oh, my sister, please tell him the Lord is speaking to me about it. After he heard that and he shout amen. Ah, Pastor Winga saw me today. After everybody shared the grace and go home, you must make sure that you have a full documented prophecy of that service. That's whatever. That thing you receive. You will now go into the place of prayer. For it is not a passive, for it is the Lord that wills to do of his good pleasure. You begin to call the things that be not as though they are. If you sleep and then you go out for shower and say, man, can you believe what happened today? The pastor called, my God, he never talks to me today. You now, your friend say, congratulations. Finally. My brother, I needed it too. I needed that word. Hallelujah. I was already getting discouraged. My brother, your journey will be very long, very hard, because people don't understand what they need to do with prophecy. And as long as you don't know what you need to do with prophecy, somebody telling you your phone number and address and what you ate last night will continue to thrill you. And I want you to look at the weight of that information. This, you are getting this information from familiar spirit. Why will God need to convince you that he's God? Simply because he wants to talk to you. And the only thing he remembers is your food. What you ate last night. You ate rice last night. You ate rice. With in the freke, you ate rice. Okay, fine. I'm not saying God can't do that. I'm just saying that I think God probably has very little time and he needs to talk. So, can you go straight to the point? If at the end of the day, the only thing that was said were at that level, you heard a familiar spirit. If a prophecy doesn't speak to your destiny and speak directly to the issues that are in front of you, but only talks about your name, your phone number, and what you ate, you heard a familiar spirit. I hope you know that there are evil spirits everywhere. Their job is to collect information. So when God created Adam, he needed to recover the earth. The earth had become a victim of spirits. So man's assignment was to come here to subjugate. In other words, compel obedience. But do you know that warfare was not in the Garden of Eden? It was outside the Garden of Eden. Everything happening in the Garden of Eden was to prepare them for what will happen when they now begin to multiply across the earth. Hallelujah. Now, I'm speaking to you this morning because I want you to know that God has not changed his mind about what he said. And power is by its nature spiritual. Power is by in its own nature is a spiritual element. Whether it is economic power, spiritual power, financial, business, marital, whatever it is. In fact, speaking about financial wealth, the scriptures teaches us that it is God that gives you the power to get. Huh? means you can do everything right and still be poor. You can do everything right and you'll be poor. Because it is God that gives capacity, ability. Ability. Once you have the ability, even if you sell pure water, you'll be rich. It's an ability. It's a capacity. So we had occasion recently to... I had to take my generator to a particular site for a particular work. And after like a month, the generator packed up because of consistent use and running of heavy machinery. So somebody wanted to assist me in making the generator work because according to him, he normally fixes his own generator at home. But this is my own generator. So the generator did not work. When the generator now collapsed in his hands, he had to come in to say he has spoiled the generator. And the first question I asked him was, who gave you authorization to touch or bring down the generator? That was the first question. He said, I thought I was trying to help you. I said, you see this thoughting that you are thoughting, has sent many people to their early grave. A man, the ark of God was about to fall down, and one man thought, let it not be before my eyes. And he wanted to assist God, and he was consumed to ashes. He died. God is not helpable. He's not that weak. He's not someone that requires people to be angry and to carry a sword and try to defend his name and say in the name of Allah. God doesn't need your help. In fact, for many things that may bother you, he's not bothered. He has been insulted many times and he still had his early morning tea. He ate his early morning pandediam. He wasn't bothered about the people because he knows that your great-grandfather, Alexander the Great, he did worse and he died. Pharaoh did worse. He buried him in the ocean. Who are those other people that spoke 300 years ago? Where are they? They are all dead. They are bones. He said, this one has started again. The spirit, that Egun spirit, that masquerade spirit that pursued his forefathers has entered him now. I don't believe in God. I don't believe in the God of the Bible. Let them find a graveyard for him because he's going to die very soon. So God is not moved. You insult him. The day he gets up on your matter, who knows? So please, I want you to know that power by its nature is spiritual. You cannot acquire it with interest. I just want power. No, it is a spiritual element. And that is why when our Lord Jesus was living in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he declared to us, he said, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Then you will receive license, capacity, authorization to be my witnesses. You cannot stand for me without power. You cannot represent me without divine power. You cannot. Because the moment you mention my name, demons will gather and they want to take you out. And that's why when I tell you that you should not aspire to be a celebrity, except they are paying you. People think I'm angry. I'm not angry. I'm just telling you that some things don't mix. There was a particular image that Nebuchadnezzar saw that was divided into different parts, but the feet was part of iron and clay. When the stone fell, it went to the point of weakness. It went to the feet, that place where materials could not blend or mix together. You cannot get popular on Jesus. The nature of what we do is that he must increase. And you, myself, we must what? And that's why the way we celebrate a brother, if I ask this my young son here to come and hold the microphone, the way we clap for him is the way he must clap for me. So God will not be angry with me. We must not have respect of persons in the house of God. That, this person is more important. This one is more important. This one is less important. Because there are things we do. We think we are just being human. But there are things that that grieve the Lord, because Jesus also died for him. And can I tell you, you are not more important than this young boy. Because yes, you may be anointed, but before God, you are all his children. Alright? So the anointing given to me is for my assignment. When he grows older, an anointing will be allocated to him for his own generation. We must not have respect of persons with God. Like, you respect this person. And let me tell you, for those of you that like to be men pleasers, I want you to know you have no friend. Everybody who is happy with you is because you are giving them something. If they stop giving them something, they will remind you that their younger brother, their third younger brother, the youngest in their family is older than you. They will remind you. So why don't you make your enemies now? Why are you assuming that you have friends? Why are you living for the praise of people? I'm talking about the reasons why people will never walk in power, because power is a spiritual commodity. If you do not know how to assess it, you will be stranded. Which is why today, because there is a gap in the church today. There is a gap. When I say gap, there is a vacuum. There is a space. It has now given room for false prophets to fill that gap. And they will begin to tell us what we ate yesterday. And what, there's nothing wrong with that. But can you go from there to tell me the mind of God? No. See, I was born that way. You need to give your life to Christ. That's why when many of us see manipulation, in-laws, siblings, they come into the house and bring in all kind of dangerous witchcraft, and you permit them because you are not even sensitive to the fact that the anointing has an errand. Anytime you see, when there's an unction on your head and there is witchcraft around you, the anointing should begin to react. Even without you praying, you just like, what is this? You react. The unction is in you and it's upon you. The one within you is for your fellowship, strengthening your relationship with God, such that you can be on the road and God begins to communicate with you. Kenneth Hagin said, God spoke to me more unconsciously than he spoke to me consciously. Which means sometimes you may be on the road and God is just mentioning to you, and he's putting ideas here, and it's actually God that is talking to you. But he didn't say, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be perfect. No, he spoke to you quietly, and you just realized later that that thing that I thought about was actually the voice of God. God is so powerful, he's so amazing, and yet he's comfortable walking in the background. He's comfortable. Because what you think of him doesn't change who he is. He is who he is. And that's why I have a lot of broke people trying to look rich, and the rich people trying to look broke. Power is a spiritual commodity, and it can only be allocated by God. In Psalm 62, I'm not sure which of the verses, is it verse 8? It said, God has spoken once, but twice have we heard that power belongs to God. If you get it, let me know. I think it's Psalm. Where's my Psalm now? Psalm has disappeared. Psalm. Okay, 11. I missed it by one verse. It said, God has spoken once, but I heard it twice. That what? Power belongs to God. Which means that if I do not align to the point where God says, I give you power to get wet, any route I take will take me to get me across to a distance, and I'll be left hanging on the third mainland. When you begin to seek the Lord for power, you must know that one of the requirements is that you must give yourself to him. You will hand over your body, soul, and spirit. In those days, you will see our fathers, and so in those days in our local churches, you will see the kind of, you see, every generation is known by his songs. Every generation and the strength of that generation is known by his songs. Thank God for people like Nathaniel and Dunsin. But if you take those two people out, The Nigerian music industry is almost a complete mess. Just pure entertainment. Which is why God will not promote those songs. They die off. After 1 or 2 years, they die off. God will promote his own project. God is not obligated. If the Lord says, don't marry this person, and you choose to marry him, we will clap for you, eat your rice. But you will have to fund that marriage. Which is why many times, when we pray, people come from several places and they say, Pastor, just pray for us. Their prayers are not answered. Because even the origin of that marriage is behind God. The scripture said, it is what God has joined together that no man should put asunder. If God did not facilitate the joining, men can put asunder. There are decisions you don't take, especially when you know you have no father or mother. You have no one to call. Without knowing the mind of God, especially when you know you don't have too many options in life. Should I go to Lagos? Should I stay in Oshogbo? You may need to pray. Register. Let it be on the record of heaven that you sought the Lord on this matter. Not that you are talking to men or you are talking to a pastor. That you sought the Lord. You talk to God. Baba, I don't know. I'm confused. It's okay to tell God you are confused. Baba, I don't know. Should I go to Lagos or stay in Oshogbo or go to Abuja? Ask him. Leave it there. Then tomorrow when you come, sir, you have not said anything. Please guide me. Send someone. Your prayer is direct. Your answer will be direct. One of the things I used to do, I remember I had a friend many years ago, who wanted to marry this fine girl. And you see, there is something about when a lady is pretty, it distorts your mind as a man. You are not able to think clearly. Even the strongest of us, you begin to hallucinate. Because this girl is putting a lot of effort into how she looks and she's perceived. And when you see her, you say, oh my God, I want to live with this one for the next 40 years. So it's your emotions, you cannot hear God again. Don't worry, I know you're a prophet. But you see, on this matter, God will not. Even if God takes a megaphone, my son, I am the Almighty God. Ineka. It's not my choice for you. All you'll be hearing, that thing that God is saying, you know, God was screaming. What you'll be hearing is, nothing do you. That's all you'll be hearing. But in the spiritual realm, God is saying, my son, Michael, oh yeah, look, go and pick him. You cannot be within that can hear God. That's why some people went into a relationship and sent a text. Please, I'm stranded. I'm in a meeting. I can't come for service. This is really Ineka. That's the meeting he's talking about. Ineka. Yeah, if you are remembering what you did now, don't worry. God will have mercy on you today. I told the brother, I say, as it is now, you cannot hear God again. I said, let me give you one prayer point. This prayer point, I only bring it out of my left pocket. This prayer point is in my left pocket. I don't put my hand there. I only touch my right pocket. I said, but because you are stranded, let me help you. I said, oh boy, go and ask the Lord. You only pray this prayer for 3 days. Oh, if not, many things will get spoiled in your life. Tell God, you have permission to disrupt my life. This Ineka, me, I want her. But if you don't want her, remove her. I said, make me fall out of love with her. Tamper with my feelings. Let me sleep and wake up and ask myself, what am I doing here? Touch me in my heart, in my soul. Let my brain reset. The last person I gave that prayer point, the wedding was cancelled. That's the day I knew that thing was working. It's like that red charm that the Baba will give you. Say, this one. Stand, hold like this. And the thing always works. You see, all you need to do is tell God that I want your will. Ah! He will just enter your space and begin to scatter everything. He will even, the one you did not send him, he will go there. Say, God, I just want to be in your way. Come into my life. Some of you are afraid now. Because if God, if you pray that prayer this morning, about Oluwa, I'll be waiting for you. Oh my God. Yeah, my son. I'm so happy with you. Michael, everybody. Oh yeah? Ewale. Begin to remove all the jacari walls. There's something we call jacari walls. There are all the cobwebs, all the things that toti diemole, it will begin to remove. They say, you'll be complaining, I'm having fever. Yes, it's because of what we are removing in your life. The brother went to pray the prayer point. I said only 3 days. The relationship did not survive by that weekend. You can test it. Don't fall in love until you have prayed this prayer. Don't fall in love until you have prayed this prayer. This prayer, if you pray the way I'm giving it to you, you'll be all right. Tell God, you have permission. Don't respect my feelings. Don't respect how I feel. You are feeling feverish. Don't respect it. Enter. Remove anything. Don't pity me. Remove anything. Anything that is not you. Because there are things, before God recommends you as a candidate of power, there are things he will look at. He will look at where he has journeyed with you. How many times did he have free permission? How many times did he have permission to come into your space and tamper with it? The scripture says it is God that worketh in us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So God will be giving you thoughts. You will be thinking. You will think you are the one thinking, but it is God that is working in you. You'll be thinking it. You'll be, okay, I want to buy a car. But it's God that is talking in first person. I want to buy a car. I want to buy a car. And the desire will be there. And anytime you stand before God, that desire does not die. You see, the presence of God is the filter. The presence of God is the filter of selfish desires. Anytime you are trying to determine, bring that thing that you want to do, come and stand in God's presence and begin to sing. Oh, baye, oh, go, yeah, alagbara, tomu banu jemi, and begin to dance like a madman. Begin to dance like, or look for the song from your village down that your mom normally sings. And begin to sing. This is not a Gen Z arrangement. Please hear me now. This one now, you will dance. You will dance like you are in a shrine. Do you know the way Wole Agba used to dance when he's doing his dance? You will dance. You will shake your body. Anybody that you say he has gone mad. Because they know you that you are a medical doctor. They know you that you are a lawyer. They know that you always calculate. Say, Pastor Gwinga, you know, he just says, but now I'm standing in front of a deity. And I need the deity to speak to me. You cannot be educated in front of him. Who are you? You want to be educated before the ancient one. What did you read? You went to school for 4 years. They gave you paper. But Paul met Jesus on the road of Damascus and he gave him power. What are you talking about? Certificate, paper. Do you know how many papers you have been accumulating? You will stand before him. You see, God must see you that you are actually a candidate of power because you can't steal it. The power, all power belongs to God. You can't enter into his vault and take it. Power, he said twice, God spoke once, but twice have I heard. That power belongs to him. You cannot take it out of his hand. He himself must give you the power. And just the same way he gives the power to get wealth, he can give you power for excellence. He can give you power for righteous living. He can give you power for miracles, signs, and wonders. He can give you power to have your spiritual eyes open and your ears open. And you see things that are beyond the natural. There is power allocation in the kingdom, but not willing vessels. So when you get to the point where you begin to say, oh, I think I need the power of God in my life, you must understand the first rule of power. He must increase and I must decrease. The moment you now realize that the word of God is more important than your feelings, the word of God is more important than your personal agenda. Huh? I was having a meeting with a pastor yesterday, and we were talking about so I have a friend that is a pastor in Texas, and he was asking me, when do you want to come? Do you have a visa? I should come and preach in their church. I said, I'm coming. As wonderful as that is, I may be an American citizen tomorrow. I may even be a British citizen and be speaking through my nose. But let me tell you, it makes no... See, you don't understand. Well, let me assume you understand. Because when pastors say you don't understand, they are just trying to bugger you. But look, let me tell you. If you are truly working with God, as long as God continues to introduce his economy to you and introduces himself to you, and you are seeing something, one day you will get to a point, and like Paul, you will say, all these things I've achieved, I count them as what? As dung. For the excellency of Christ. He has seen something. Why he can stay there and they lash him and he was being persecuted and they throw him out as dead? Do you know that if we were beaten the way they beat Paul, and their Bilala in those days, it's not the AI one we have now. You will go home and your wife will ask you, is this how you want to continue your life? That don't you think you should use wisdom? Maybe you should create a pseudo account on social media, use another name so they won't know it's you. Then you can be preaching and saying everything you want to say and do whatever you want to do. That's MTS song way back. You know, the people start advising, you know, we need to use wisdom. In fact, Paul was going to another city and brethren gathered. They said, don't go. Then a prophet came and said, thus shall the man who has this bet, this is how you be tied. Paul said, this is the confirmation I need. I'm going. People heard, and I've heard pastors preach that God didn't want him to go. Meanwhile, in the mandate they gave Paul when he became a Christian, is that he will suffer many things for my sake. Suffering was part of Paul's journey. You cannot be Paul's wife if you want a good life. I am telling you that the allocation of power, we will talk about it from now to next year. The deity will never consider you qualified because you are not ready to take the journey of going down and projecting him. Which is why a lot of churches today will talk about God's power and they will never see it, because Jesus is not glorified there. Jesus is just a commodity that is being marketed to make the pastor rich. Did you hear what I just said? It's a decision you will have to make. This is April, and my intention this year is not to preach to you, it's to empower you. I am telling you now that if you make a decision now, that the only thing you will do in your life is to project Christ. That whatever Christ does or achieves in you, you get a new certification, you get a new job, it is because your God was merciful enough to consider you worthy and faithful. That everything is for Christ and is for his glory. He said, for thou hast created all things, and all things for your pleasure, and they are what? Well created. That means that your life is not your degree. Your life is the point where Christ can say, I have ownership here. And if Christ is your savior but not your Lord, you will never experience power in the degree of Genesis 1:26, which says have dominion, which means to subjugate. Which means if I enter into a territory and I find that there is resistance, and God wants us to know there will be resistance. God wants you to know there will be resistance, but he also wants you to be confident. So when something is going on in your office and you don't know what to do, and everybody is under a lot of pressure, you go into your shell and then you light your candle and stand before the Lord. Say, this night there must be a way out. I begin to sing, light me, Lord, light me, Lord, light me, Lord, like a candle, light me, Lord, light me, Lord, light me, Lord, like menorah, light me. That moment you are standing there, you are not singing, you have started a journey.
you have started a journey where your heart is being opened before the Lord. You don't know what he will say. You don't know if he will tell you that, oh, this is judgment over your company. Or you don't know what he's going to say. But you are standing now in your priestly office. Because when we talk about priesthood, we talk about worship. We talk about the right way to approach God. And you may be there 3 hours. You have not started praying. But you are in a hurry to talk. And God just wants you to spend time with him. Let me give you two scenarios. When Jesus, our Lord, went to fast for 40 days. In all your record, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, did you see anywhere in that story where God came to him to talk to him in that 40 days? Come on, talk to me. Was there anywhere in those 40 days? I'm not saying God didn't talk to him. I'm saying that was recorded. Did you see anywhere in those 40 days, where God came down and said, my son, I want to confirm all the words that I have been revealed to you. Did you see anything like that? What did you see? Did you see Satan? Did you see Satan? Did Satan come to talk? Did Satan talk to him? Did Satan take his time to talk to him? But God did not talk. Listen to me. Many times we are looking for the wrong things. When you are waiting upon the Lord, whoever shows up first is the first sign that you are gaining traction. Please, are you with me? God did not say anything to him publicly that was recorded. But Satan came. And let me tell you, Satan only shows up when he knows he's about to lose. He will show up. The moment his agenda is scattered the table, make him lose focus. That is why when you started praying, you notice it's as though your prayer was not. Satan was putting pressure. You need to make a decision now. You need to tell him yes. You need to go there. You need to travel. His own is that if by heaven's position you should be in Lagos, the moment you enter Ibadan, you're out of the will of God. And that's why the scripture says that those that believe will not make haste. The moment you find that there is a pressure on you to move now, my brother, Satan is at your doorstep. If I don't tell him, he will walk away. If I don't tell her, she will walk away. You see, when you read the scriptures, they help you understand the ways of God. God is not in the audio. Change everything that is happening across the world. The Lord, God just sit down. He has taken his early morning tea today. He's calm. Because if he wants everybody to believe today, he knows what to do. Those who didn't believe in God in 2020, they prayed. They prayed when they saw COVID. Meanwhile, if you read the book of Revelations, kese, what you are calling COVID is child's play compared to what the book of Revelations tells us. There will be disease, there will be death. John told us about the four horses. I say everybody will believe, say. You are just playing. I don't believe in God. I'm a believer in science. Don't worry. The president of one European country, when he saw what COVID was doing in his country, he said, oh God, help us. Oh God. He said it, he didn't know, the thing came out. If there is a God, this is the best time for you to show yourself. He said, I will not show myself. Shebi, you did not believe before. Go and suffer. You will believe. You will believe. A man had a problem and he went to see a herbalist. This man is supposed to be a Christian. He went to see a herbalist. He went to see a herbalist and the man gave him something. He said, use this thing and your problems will be over. And after he left the witch doctor, the problem persisted and became worse. And he went back to the... He said, Baba, they told me you're a very strong man. This small thing, you could not fix it. The Baba looked... He tried to check the oracle. Say, my brother, I cannot handle this problem. Say, but there is a church in the... I'm telling you. I heard this story in MFM. Say, there is a church in this community, MFM. They specialize in difficult cases. It was a witch doctor that recommended MFM to his customer that this one, he passed me. Come on, say power.
Power.
They're talking about. You cannot afford to be MTO. Because the days that are coming upon us, a lot of innocent Christians will be wasted. You cannot afford to be empty. That you stand. You don't even know the kind of mother-in-law you have.
before you marry my son, you must get pregnant. And they'll look at you and say, seriously, must get pregnant. I know you people say you go to church and you deceive yourself, but we have a goal here. Must get pregnant. How many of you will walk away from that relationship? No, don't worry if you are not sure. You know, because this is a temptation. The guy is the perfect person, and now his mom or his dad has come up with a clause. How many of you will get up and say, this is not for me? And they insist. Be honest, before I ask the God of Thunder now to come and confirm. Wave your hands. I'm telling you, I hope you know that the implication of your decision is that you may never marry. Please wave your hands. A lot of Christians will not mind. Is it not to get pregnant? It's God that gives children. It's not God that gives children. No, God has a system in place that allows people to get pregnant. It's not every child. It's not every child that God gives. So if you do what you're not supposed to do, you get pregnant. And it's not God. So don't even start, because you provoke him now. I am telling you that before power is introduced, you will be tested. Your appetite for destruction will be checked. If we put power in this one's life, how many people will die around her when he or she is angry? You need to check these things. Because already your name may be on the list in heaven as a candidate for power, but you may not be seeing it. You may see yourself casting out devils in your dream, fighting giants and defeating them. But in life, you are being defeated. I am telling you, Jesus must increase and you must decrease. And don't forget, the goal of the power is to subjugate. Subjugate. So if they tell you if you have to get pregnant before you marry our son, say, well, daddy, thank you, I quite appreciate that. However, I have a covenant with my God. You see, there's a language of spirits. Ah, daddy, you go on your knees. Ah, daddy, I will get pregnant. In my family, we are not barren. I don't care. Get pregnant now. And you are not even aware that they tested it. The other day you came to the house, they put your foot together. You should have told them, please separate it, because you are not married. They were testing you. Then that evening, they put two of you in the same room. Glory to God. They were watching you, waiting to see at what point are you going to speak, or you think they don't know anything about you? You think they don't know anything about you? I was in a meeting yesterday with one of the number one Christian in Lagos. We sat down beside each other. As we were going, all of us were leaving. He just turned to me. Ah, Pastor Shafe, good morning, sir. God bless you. I didn't know him. He just said, I've heard a lot about you. I said, You're not that. Me too, I've heard a lot about you. Let's be hearing things about ourselves. So I called the person who knew him in our midst, and I said, did you tell him anything about me? He said, no. So I just guessed that he must have seen my AI twin on Facebook. So maybe he met my AI twin. That's the one that is meeting everybody now. Sorry, sir. I'm a child of covenant. There are things that are not allowed in our clan. We do not do this. And this one will not change, sir. And it will not change. I cannot go after the order that was given to me. So I will not sleep with your son. I will not get pregnant. Not because I am a good girl, but because I am a covenanted child. My body first belongs to Jesus before this man. Let the man go and argue with his own state of backsliding and decide whether he wants to continue like this or not. But when they talk to you, say, please, sir, I need this job. You're already on your knees. They know you are weak. If you go on your knees before God when praying for 3 hours, you will never have to bend your knees before a mortal man. It's because you are weak. You casualize God and you see him as someone you can give a wiper. The one that angels dread to look at his face. The ones that angels who have been in front of him cannot describe how he looks like for billions of years. is the one that you casualize. And you import every strange thing from Babylon because you say you want to worship him. A God that is very picky. You don't know he's very picky. He said, who is it that can stand in his holy place? He said, he that has a clean heart and a... He's very picky. He's not looking for worship. He's not looking for your type of worship. The moment you know that he's very selective, this is how he wants his inkobi. This is how he wants his afangsum. This is how he wants it. You will either have to decide if you want to prepare that way or get out. Power is a spiritual commodity. And the earlier you make up your mind that this power was not given for self-aggrandizement, but for the fulfillment of his own will, then you will not see yourself in that bank as an ambassador and representative of Jesus Christ. The day they told me that I was going to be sacked in the bank, the day they told me before they brought the letter. I searched in my spirit and I heard the Lord say, they didn't bring you here. Your being here today was not even your wish. I didn't pray for it. I decided you'll be here. No man has the power to sign your letter. That's what the Lord said to me. It wasn't a motivational speech. That's what the Lord said. And I went and I slept. The person who told me was sacked. And I didn't report the person. Where you are now, is God aware of it? That place where you go every on Monday, is God aware of it? That brother, that sister that you are deceiving yourself with, is God aware of that person in your life? Did God approve that person in your life? I'm telling you about the environment on which power rests. If you are in charge of finance in your office, do you adjust figures to make the account balance? 10 cupboard here, 2 cupboard here, 3 cupboard here. How deviated are you? Are you among those who say, this is not church, this is business? Because the subject of power, only God can allocate it. If your father gives it to you, but you don't have the belly for it. Abiola's children are still alive. I hope you know. MQ Abiola. His children are alive and well. If you see them on the road now, you won't think twice about them. But if their father was alive, you would have wanted to get their number. You can't inherit wealth, too. Let me say you can inherit wealth, but you can't inherit the power to get wealth. Majemuni is a covenant. For the deity to give it to you, he must have an arrangement with you. The same way if you had gone to Satan, Satan will ask for something. And when we come to the second service, I will talk to you about the law of exchange. Don't gamble. You can start your journey today. And let me tell you this. One of the primary ingredients, things you will have to make a decision about to walk in power. Can I tell you? You know, if you listen to this message now, I'm going straight to the point. No fluff, no deviation, no nothing. I'm just giving it to you hot and spicy. Listen, there is something you must do away with or master if you want to walk in the realm of power. It's your emotions. Do you know what happened when Elisha got angry? 42 children died. And God did not even ask where their parents were. What was their offense? They said the man of God was bald-headed. If you are bald-headed, is it not a good thing that you don't have to buy comb? But I want you to imagine their crime and look at the judgment. What that tells you is that you are the one who commonizes insult. If you push the insult towards an anointed of the Lord, the consequences might be very dire and people may not be able to understand why is God wicked. There was a priest, him and two brothers, the sons of Eli, who devised their own fork, very long like this. When they are bringing the sacrifice, they say, open the pot. That fork is designed in such a way that it only selects the biggest. Say, so we are the men of God. Is it God that will come and eat all these things? It's through us God will eat these things. Eh? The oracle must eat. Anything that fuck holds, that's it. They will not be smiling. My bad. Yeah, Lord, yeah. Say, this work is very profitable. We need to be doing this more often. People will suffer to make atonement. The boys will just wait. Kak. Once Pepe don't rest like this. Once you just hook it like this, that's it. It was like a small thing though. The day God came. Do you know what happened after God cast his power on what's the man that touched that Uzzah? The hack. The scripture says that nobody, everybody was not afraid. I am telling you, if you do not separate your emotions, because every time I have seen people make costly mistakes in their destiny, they became emotional. Every time, 9 out of 10. They wanted something so badly, and they wanted God to say yes, and God doesn't care. He doesn't care. Because that your whatever is not in his priority. That thing that is in your eye, on your face, like it's not crazy. He can bless you without those things. But you want it so badly that you are willing to go against him. You will not walk in power. You will remain a weakling. So the moment, that's why I said, before you become emotional, find out where God is standing. Before you fall in love, ask him, Baba, are you interested in this boy? Don't go on a date and be having lunch and ask him, so what do you like? Do you plan to leave the country? So how many stars do you have? I'm here. What's your business? How many stars do I have? I don't have sister. You are checking each other out. That's not the first thing, no. I'm telling you, it doesn't sound conventional. Somebody called me and said, Pastor, you warned me. Pastor, you warned me. Pastor, I need to get out of this marriage. I said, don't get out, stay there. The person, let me tell you, nobody's coming to get me. I already know that. Nobody's coming to get me. So I have a bandwidth of error. Behavioral sciences says 0.05. Pure sciences says 0.01. Me, I have put myself on 0.00 because I know that I am not sure there's anybody coming to get me. If I find myself in a situation where my family needs to gather and raise 100 million, I don't know who among them will drop that money. So I have positioned myself to not need it. You must do it with your emotions. Before you allow your emotions, find out whether God is interested. Don't fall in love first and be asking God. It's late. Number three, if you want to walk in power, I've told you some things already. Is that not so? Number three is the fear of the Lord. And I don't have time to talk about it, but maybe in the second service I'll push it a bit further. I want to talk about the fear of the Lord in relation to, number one, how we relate with the Word of God. Now, if there is something I've said this morning and you don't like it, you know, you may be seated on your chair and in your mind you've deleted it. It doesn't take away the fact that God does it on record that you have heard it. It doesn't take away that fact. And Satan knows you are in church today and you heard it. And even when you try to distract yourself by pressing your phone, behaving as if you are jotting, when you're on Instagram, the heavens saw it. You are not fooling me. You are fooling yourself, because the day of test will come. Not if, it will come to everybody. The fear of the Lord, as it has to do with our response to the Word of God. The fear of God, as it has to do with how we worship him. We don't worship him like we're in a celebrity concert. We worship him because we know we are standing before the God of the OLED and we want him to receive our worship. Sometimes we want to worship him, but we don't even have words. We just find that we are humming. We are chanting.
We don't even have the words that describe how we really want to express our heart. God looks at the desire and he's satisfied. The fact that even in your heart, you want to shake your body. You may be sick and you are unable to move your body. God looks at you that this boy wants to dance. So he wants to praise me. But he's limited and restricted. But even on that chair in your office, sometimes God raises a humming, a chant in your soul. But because of where you are, you know, you can't really just break out. You just be doing. You are on your chair in front of your computer. And if you have another spiritual person, the person will just say, you are there. La 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 la. It may just be for 5 minutes. There's when worship is rising to God, one of the things that goes with it is reverence. That's why I like Nathaniel. You know, reverence. Even, and it's not about slow song go, because he sings some fast songs too. But you can see that this guy just loves the Lord. He's not a celebrity. He just loves the Lord. Popular, not popular, he loves the Lord. And may I tell you, fame is not actually a sign that God has approved of you. That's why you find that the man can be there for 10, 15 years, still shaking his shekere. And many people you knew just passed and you can't find them again. And he's still there doing. La 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 la. Yahweh Sabaoth, Yahweh Sabaoth, Yahweh Sabaoth, Yahweh Sabaoth, la 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 la. La 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 la. We are not in a hurry for you. La 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 la.
Yeah. Rise up on your feet and begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. Begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. Alebarakata kata yeza kata. Zehekana barukata yene ketola. Rabele konoso te kaina kabala kude kalia. Rabala kude kese kata ina kede kede kede.
Tell you what happens when we bring reverential worship to God. Hold it. When we bring reverential worship to the Lord, is that incense will begin to rise. Incense will begin to rise. Our prayers will begin to go straight up like incense. Then it will begin to commission His presence, because the Lord responds to reverence. You cannot praise Him anyhow. He is not a celebrity God. You cannot praise Him anyhow. You must come to Him like He is a deity. You must come to Him because you know that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Listen, today God wants to have a personal meeting with you. And I want you to open your heart and open your mind, because this is your moment. In the next 5 minutes, I want you to begin to worship Him. I want you to begin to glorify Him. Come on, lift up your voice. La 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 Listen. Hallelujah. Now listen. Acts chapter 13 tells us that while they were in God's presence and they were ministering to the Lord. Now, they didn't have a keyboard. They didn't have guitars and all these nice things we have here. They were ministering to the Lord with the things that were available. One of the primary enhancers of the voice of God is authentic worship when it is coming from a genuine heart. The authorization over Paul's ministry came in the midst of teachers and prophets, and he was with them, but they were the ones who ordained him an apostle. It was not an apostle that ordained Paul. It was teachers. Come on, are you with me? It was teachers. So do you know what? Bring it down a bit. Do you know what ministering to the Lord means? It means that when they sat in a circle, and we need to encourage those type of meetings again, where we sit in circles, and then somebody will pick a psalm, and someone pick a scripture, and as that person is reading, someone will say, oh my God, I'm inspired, and he will begin to teach on that scripture, and when he drops, Cecil will pick it up and say, no, you know, let me just take it up from there, and then he will begin to teach, and everything seems to be connecting. Then Brother Pat will pick it up and say, oh my God, this is powerful, look at this other scripture, it ties to this one. And then when they get to the fifth person, the person will just stand up and say, he doesn't have anything to say, but his response is a chant. His response is a chant. Listen. they will sit in their midst, and one person will bring up a scripture and begin to teach, because we have been wrongly taught that this is the only way to approach God, through the ministry of teaching. The Spirit of God was tiered for ordination. Then when Yvonne teaches and brings up a scripture, and I was just looking at Psalm chapter 24, and Yvonne will say, let us read quickly. He said, for the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell in it, for he has founded it upon the seas, and he has established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand in his holy place? He that had a clean hand and pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul into vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, that man shall receive the blessing of the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. We are the generation of them that seek him, that seek his face. Oh Jacob, lift up your heads. Oh ye gates, Maryland, lift up your heads. Oh ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, so that the King of glory, the King of glory, the King of glory shall come in. The moment Yvonne takes that psalm, then somebody will rise up and begin to prophesy. The person will begin to prophesy. This was what they were doing in Acts chapter 13, until somebody rose up and said, separate unto me. Hey, Yasoto. Bring this one apart. Give me Paul and Barnabas. Listen. When Paul became a Christian, he was in Arabia for 3 years. Jesus came and taught him, but Jesus didn't commission him. He left his commission in the hands of his brothers. He put his commission. You cannot be a lone ranger. Listen to me. There are things, even if your calling came with Angel Michael, there must be people on this earth who will give a voice and say, yes, indeed, the hand of God is on this one. Paul did not come into that meeting that day expecting to be ordained. He came in because he was a teacher. Paul was not even a prophet. So he must have been among those who raised a psalm, and he must have taught one or two things. Nobody taught. Their mind and their idea that day was to come to wait upon him. Do you know that God may be setting you up in today's service for an ordination? He may be setting you up this morning for an ordination. And right there where you are standing, the power of God is going to come upon you. Listen to me. I was sick and I was dying. And I must have been around maybe the age of 12 or 13. And I was taken to the hospital, the general hospital, where I was on admission in Bauchi State. And the doctor said, this boy has something close to yellow fever or something. But there was no treatment for it. And I remember standing beside my dad within the hospital when the doctor was speaking to him. Because the community was so small, everybody knew everybody. So they just stood and they spoke. He said, this boy needs a lot of help, and we can't get him the help here. I had recently become a Christian then. And I had started operating recently in healing. And the devil brought, strange things, yellow fever, hepatitis. By the time I got home, Dr. Wudiri, that's his name, Dr. Wudiri. He was an Hausa evangelist, but he was also a lecturer at the Abubakar Tafawa Balewa University, ATBU. And he came to the house. He said, I heard that the pastor is sick. How can the pastor be sick? I was just a small boy. He said, the Lord told me to raise him up. Yeah, the doctors discussed my condition like a case file. But a prophet came and said, the Lord told me to raise him up. The man came, an Hausa man. You won't see him on YouTube. You won't see him on Facebook. He doesn't have an account. And he's even dead now. He's with the Lord. But the man came and said, Benga, you cannot be sick. Then he discussed my dad. What the doctor said. My dad said, oh, it's a small thing. The Lord has told me what we need to do. And he said to me, say, Benga, I know you have faith. So I'm going to ask you to put your faith to work. You see, I want you, when I tell you this, I want you to be hearing something. Because the question of your faith, nobody's doubting it. But whether you can put it to work is another thing. Are you with me?
The man said, Benga, get up now. I was very weak. I don't know if you have seen someone that has yellow fever and is very sick. I was very weak. They lifted me up and I stood up in the parlor. And he said, Benga, run around this house and don't stop until you are well. It sounds funny because you are feeling fine. But for a boy that has been on admission, the day he got home, they say, run. He said, Benga, run. You're a man of faith. You can't do this. Run. And I started running. 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 I must have run around the house like 10 times. Then he suddenly says, stop. He said, where is your sickness? I said, I can't find it. I said, I can't find it. I was on admission for days and weeks. There was no. They discussed my case like a case file. The man said, run. Today you are going to put your faith to work. Because there's an ordination. Maybe that's why you came this morning. There's an ordination for you this morning. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? Shout a big hallelujah. Listen, listen. I saw somebody that had a sickness, and I saw the sickness drop like a rag. It dropped from your body when you shouted. Now shout hallelujah again. Now the hallelujah I'm looking for is the one that is going to shatter the heavens and shake the foundations of the earth. But the moment that hallelujah resonates in your spirit, there's going to be a major shift. Now shout hallelujah. When the prophet said to that king, I want you to strike the ground, he didn't tell him how many times. So when I tell you to shout hallelujah, I have not told you to stop. Shout hallelujah again. You like a shield. Favor surrounds you like a shield. Favor surrounds you like a shield. Favor surrounds you like a shield.
Power erupting from within. It is moving me from now until the day I see my King.
Say favor. Talking to me now about somebody that has an issue where he's staying right now. There's a conversation going on about leaving that place. And the Lord said, look, you are looking for a house. I want to give you a house this year. Listen, listen, listen. This prophecy is for this year. Wait, hear me, hear me. The person I'm talking to, there's a conversation like, maybe we should leave this place. If you have not had that conversation yet, I'm not talking to you. I said there is a conversation about where you are now. You need a better place. There's a conversation that you need to move out. And the Lord said, this year I'm going to give you a house.
word of the Lord will not fail. Listen, I had a landlord that was so nasty, and the day I moved out of her house, I told her, I said, I'm going to buy a house beside you. As I was leaving the final day, I said, I will buy a house beside you. I said, in fact, the house is already here. She said, where is it? I said, I won't tell you. I spoke the words of faith and I forgot it. 3 years later, my wife reminded me, this is it too. Do you know the funny thing? The house is times two of what? Where that woman stays. Times two. And it was in the same area. I had forgotten. Listen, the words you speak to him, you can forget. The one that does not sleep and does not slumber, he catches your words. So when I tell you to shout, it is because he is a faithful God. It is because he never forgets. It is because he will fulfill his promise. Give a shout of victory. Somebody's going to dance today. Somebody's going to dance today. Somebody's about to receive his testimony. Jesus Christ declared to that woman who was going with her son to be buried, the widow of Nain, and he said to the woman, do not weep. The one who said do not weep has the power to speak to the coffin. Say, young man, I say unto you, arise. He said, arise. And the person that was taken out of the house was a dead man. But when that body saw the Prince of Life, say, the day will come that all men will hear my voice and they will come out of their graves. Today is the day of resurrection. Listen, death has no power over you again. No one is permitted to die in your family this year. Oh, listen, this is not the way we plan the service today, but listen, I won't disrupt it. Listen. Something is going to happen in your body now. Huh? I had a conversation with my wife. Somebody has been healed, and the person has a hole in his heart. And I told my wife, tell the person to come. I would like to pray for him. The person said, in our religion, we do not believe in those things. I said, I just want to help you. I don't need your faith. Jesus is good to everyone. Come. But we had the conversation again recently, and I remember the boy that stopped coming to this church because of a doctor's report.
Doctor told him that he will not live long, that they need to take him to India. And one day after the service, I said they should go and look for him. And they brought him from Egbeda. He came in after we have shared the grace. So he already had missed that day's blessing. But I waited for him in church that day. Waiting, Pastor, I did see me today. You are not even allowed till next week. Have a nice day. At least you are at home, you are doing something. Let me to go home and do something. When the boy came, he was looking dejected. He's not the kind of person you will tell have faith. When the doctor tells you that you have a hole in your heart and that thing cannot be treated in Nigeria, they were gathering money for his trip. They had gathered 2 million then for the surgery. 2 million. This was in our former venue. When I tell you that, embrace Jesus. If you want to follow him, embrace him. Leave all this daddy shoki spirit alone. If you want to follow Jesus, embrace him. You cannot do Dalizek and Nikiminjad. It no go work. We are Christians. We are not slave queens. I prayed for the brother. I'm before God and man. When I flow in the lean anointing, I know I did not flow in the lean anointing. I just held his chest and I prayed for him from my heart sincerely, because I knew the boy had no one. His uncle gave him 2 million for the surgery. Now they needed money for the flight. After I prayed for him, I said, go back. Which hospital did you say, Red Inti? I said, go back there now, not tomorrow. Go now. Let them run a test. The uncle told him, don't go to this church again. They are evil. The uncle, who has never been here, told the boy not to come to this church. So the sickness now made it easy for him not to go out. Because anytime he breathes in, he feels a lot of pain. If he breathes out, the thing contracts. So he's in a lot of pain. He went to Reddington here at Ikeja GRE. This is how the doctor picked the file. Called the nurse. Give me the original result for this boy. He said, that's it. Bring the old one. They brought it. He did like this. He said, there's a mistake. He said, go and check very well. Who did the last test? He says, I'm the one. Bring it. He looked at it. Ah. He said, this new test result shows that you have a brand new heart. This new result. You see, this Jesus that does things for free that you refuse to appreciate. You don't believe something great can be free. Even your salvation, even though someone paid for it too, but at least it's still free. The uncle said, the doctor called the uncle. Said, this boy is well, though. He has a brand new heart. This heart can go for 80 years. The uncle now said, give him the phone. Where are you? He said, I'm at the hospital. Is this true? He said, yes. What happened? He said, my pastor that he said I should not go to has prayed for me. Say your pastor. He now said, my head, come, Ebenezer. You know, I also have heart problem. Can you take me to your pastor? He said, no, he's a busy man. He said, my pastor is a busy man. And I said, Ebenezer, salvation is free. Let God do his own to the way. The man had told him, that 2 million I gave you for the surgery is your own. Go and start your life afresh. That boy is a pastor in Redeemed Church today. Today is a day for impossible things. The things that men say is impossible. As you hear this word from the Lord, things will begin to happen in your environment. The things that eyes have not seen before, that ears have not heard before. I am talking about a season of supernatural supply. The Egyptians you see today, when you get home, they would have completely disappeared. Begin to make progress. Begin to make progress. Begin to recover every ground you have lost.
Are you blessed this morning?
You have received the word, and heaven has marked your moment. This week, you will move in divine speed, divine favor, and undeniable testimonies. Go forth as a proof of prophecy. For more information, visit our website at www.theharvestword.org. See you again, and until then, keep soaring.